And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, February the 9th, 2019, Season 13, Episode 6. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that's it. Matt is out of town this weekend and next weekend. I believe Sarah's going to join us next weekend. But for this week, just a duo show for you, me and RJ here, to talk about video games of the week. Hey, you know, anything else you want to bring up, you can, because you can call us. You can talk to us. And we'd love to hear from you, too. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228. And if you want some more information, just go to ingamechat.net. You can find all the links to get in touch with us. We've got a Twitter and a Facebook page. You can join in over there. We do tweet things every now and again. Mainly, it's just updates when we posted the show, but... you know, sometimes we'll get games in, sometimes we'll get books about games in, and we'll post about those, but follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and you can also find us, you can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, and we are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. You know that Twitch hosted the entire, well, they didn't host it, but there were plenty of ways to watch the, that stuff in D.C. yesterday with the Attorney General, or I guess the Whitaker guy.
Yeah.
That whole thing was on Twitch. Mm-hmm. You could watch it on Twitch. I didn't get a chance to see that on Twitch, but I heard the chat room was fantastic.
I bet it was. I bet it was.
As you know how chat rooms can be during live streams like that. Spam. I will say, when they did the whole thing of like Bob Ross... Yeah. When they aired the Bob Ross stuff, just back to back.
Still one of the most memorable Twitch moments out there.
The Bob Ross was on the there. Twitch chat was fantastic because they were chatting as though it was a video game, you know. And every time he wanted to add a tree, of course he draws this line right in the middle of all this gorgeous stuff he's done.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh God,
yeah, that's his style.
How's he going to come back from this? He's ruined. Oh my God!" And yeah, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, that's his style, man. Happy little trees.
It was just, it was wonderful. So what I hear is the Twitch chat for that thing yesterday was fantastic too.
Somebody had to have captured that.
Find us at twitch.tv. You can just search in the search bar in game chat. You can go to our website and click on the link there. I mean, we put ourselves all over the place for you guys to find us, so hopefully we don't make it too difficult for you. You can join in the chat room live while we broadcast. In fact, we've got people in the chat room right now. And let me bring up the list so I can say hello to everyone. AC Wraith, Moltile, Steven Van Dam, Tactus59, and Thar66 so far hanging out with us in the room. And Duke Frukum too. My God, I haven't... It's been a while since that man has been in here.
It's been a minute.
It really has. I think the last time he joined us, he was married. At least he was engaged, I think. But I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got married the last time he was in with us. And, yeah, you know, now he's living the married life. Still playing the games. I actually saw his profile, was it last Friday or this Friday? I saw his profile I was working on my music stuff. And his profile on Steam was up, and it had this gold outline, and I was like, oh, well, he must have, because this guy loves his Steam points.
Mm-hmm.
He loves his, whenever they're doing the sales and stuff, and you earn points, and your ranks, and levels, and all this stuff. Yeah, he loves that, and goes through it, and so I thought he hit a milestone that had put him in some, like, huge bracket, and I thought, like, what is that? I want to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. It was just for the Chinese lunar sale.
Oh, okay.
Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
You opened up a bag. You got a certain amount of points. You can spend those points on things. You also get points if you buy games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me enough points, and I guess maybe him as well, that you could turn your profile gold for the duration of the sale or until the next lunar cycle, which would be in March sometime, if you have enough of the gold saved up. So I was like, oh, that's neat. So did it myself. He may have been playing. I don't know what he was playing last time I saw him playing. I know a random man who is not in with us at the moment. He was playing a Steam game last night that we did not have music for, or we had not played music for.
Mm-hmm.
So that is in the rotation of songs that we have for today's show. This is why I Purple Heart and why I'm Angry Division 2. This is why I... Okay. This is why I... he was... Dave Ferguson said, this is why I love Steam so much and why I'm angry Division 2 is going to Epic.
Yeah.
Wait, Division 2 is going? I thought Division 2 was just Uplay.
I think the point is just not on Steam, isn't it?
Yeah, Division... yeah, well, it's not on... Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, not on Steam. That's the. I think that's the point, yeah.
I always thought that they were... Yeah, was, oh, just Epic and Uplay. I see what you're saying.
Mm.
Yeah, you can buy either.
Okay.
You'll get this later when I ask it, but I'll come back to it. Is it cheaper on either one, or is it the same price? Because if it's cheaper on Epic, I might go there. I've been looking around for a code to play the beta this weekend.
Yeah.
To get in there with it, but I don't want to pre-order the game. But I've been trying to find a code to get into the beta. By the way, if anybody's listening, if you have a PC code. I would like to play Division 2. If you're listening this after we aired live, don't worry about it. But if anybody has some invites, I would like to play. Let's do this thing real quick that I have to do to sync up my audio. There. And then I don't have to worry about that again. I feel like I'm losing my voice. And something's wrong.
Yeah, but then one thing is another. Last week it was the sty. This week it's the...
Check out how well that boy healed up, man.
Yeah, healed up fine.
Oh, man.
And then now your voice is going.
Yeah, that thing decided Sunday night that it couldn't hold back and was just like, I'm ready to go. So I was just like, messing around with it. You know, every little bit, pulling a little bit of something, and then pushed a little bit, and it was like, brr. Oh, God. Describing...
Oh, it ruptured.
Yes. Well, okay. It's a sty. It's full of blood, basically, and other things. But, yeah, it finally decided to let go and just, yeah. So, and this is what it looks like now. Fantastic. Much better than what it was. Feels better. Looks better. And now I got to figure out what's going on with my voice or my throat or whatever. I don't know. There's something going on there. I can't seem to clear it. It feels like I need to clear my throat, and I clear it, and then it just feels like there's still. It feels like I didn't get it, and so I don't know what's going on there. I like how we start the show with ailments. This is how this show is going to go. We keep doing this. We're going to get older, so every show is going to start off with I didn't play much because my hip was bothering me this week. Couldn't sit down for too long. Had to, you know, we're getting old.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting old. We are old. We're getting old. So, RJ, what did you play? on the old Nintendo.
On the old box, little video box.
Well, we'll just call them all Nintendos.
They're all Nintendos
or now. Xboxes.
Yeah, like,
you know,
all the sodas are called Coke now, right?
Yeah, all everything's called Coke, and all the video game machines are called the Nintendos. At least it was when I was growing up. I think there was a shift. Into the Xboxes at some point. You playing that on your Xbox? Nobody could get around to calling it the PlayStation. That's too long for people. The Xbox or the Nintendo. And PlayStation just did not hit the vernacular the way Xbox, I guess, did.
So when do we start saying PS?
Nobody says PS. Nobody. Well, no. I understand you do. I'm talking about not you.
Okay.
I'm talking about, you know, other the people who don't know, mm-hmm. who, you know, when the grandkids come up, or, you know, I had a grandmother at the time, and it didn't matter if I was playing on a Super Nintendo, it was always a Nintendo. Mm-hmm. If I was playing on a Sega, it was a Nintendo. Sega was not a thing for them. Sega was Pepsi, but they called it a Coke, you mm-hmm. know? That's all.
Yeah, I get it.
That's all.
Yeah. But, well, in terms of what I was playing, it's been
very
light.
Yeah, what were you playing, by the way? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Most of all week, I've been playing Resident Evil 2. I'm still trying to unlock some stuff in there. I finally unlocked the Infinite Ammo Samurai Edge, and I unlocked the Infinite Combat Knife. So I was able to get those two unlocked. Now I'm trying to debate between whether or not to try Fourth Survivor or go for the Infinite Minigun and the Infinite Rocket Launcher. And one is going to be definitely harder than the other. If you ever heard the requirements of getting those infinite weapons, mm-hmm. it's hardcore mode. You can't save more than 3 times. You can't use any of the bonus weapons, and you got to beat the game in under 2 hours. And when I went through standard mode and got S, I got it took me 248 to get that. So it's going to be a challenge doing it on hardcore mode to unlock those weapons. But I've also been watching some videos on the Fourth Survivor gameplay, and that looks like a rough patch in and of itself. I think the fastest I've seen it done was in 7 minutes.
Duke Frickham says, no spoilers for Resident Evil 2.
Hmm?
Duke Frickham says, no spoilers for Resident Evil 2. He's starting it this week.
Okay.
So
I'm not spoiling story on it. It's just requirements.
I know. I was just getting that out there so you know about it when we go through. I mean, there's nothing really much you can talk to me about because I haven't played it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Matt was here so you guys could continue your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't really add anything to mm-hmm. the story here.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, I just basically trying to work on unlocks and things like that through the game, basically what I've been trying to do this week. So I'll probably almost likely try to start the Fourth Survivor. It seems to be quicker that way mm-hmm. instead of trying to go through the game all over again. Because there's some scenarios I haven't gone through yet with Leon and Claire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you played? This is going to be a quick segment.
Very little of anything else. I played a little bit of SSX. I was feeling nostalgic.
Oh.
I was playing SSX.
Which one?
PS3. 2000. The latest one that came out in 2012.
The one that seemed to, not necessarily a reboot, but it's sort of the one that takes place on one single mountain?
No, this is the one on all over the world. It's the world tour one. SSX in 2012 had the format of multiple mountains around the world. There are different countries you go to play. It had the Deadly Descents.
I think we're thinking of the same one then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SSX
so.
On SSX on PS3.
Yeah, it didn't have a number. It wasn't SSX Tricky. It wasn't SSX 3.
It just said SSX.
SSX. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So that's why I was playing a little bit of that. Found some of the network things are still up because I keep hearing about PlayStation Network going out on PS3 in the future or something. I keep hearing something in the news about that. Do you hear anything about that? Or support or something?
For
PS3. Support for PSN was stopping or something like that, or something being gone from PSN.
I mean, we're losing the PS Plus games after, you know, we're losing Vita and PS3 games.
Yeah. That's probably it then, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, still saw some network things up and available for the game. So I was trying to get some credits that way to pick up some new stuff.
But, yeah. By the way, if you call in, we don't have Matt here to answer the phone, so if we're in a conversation, I may not see it. So I'm just going to put you on hold. Mm-hmm. Hang tight. We'll get to you. Continue.
Okay, yeah. But, I was trying to get some new stuff for new gear because some characters I haven't leveled up all the way as much as I'd like to. I think the only character I had leveled up in SSX was Zoe. But some of my other favorite characters in there weren't anywhere near her level because Zoe was the first one you get to play with.
Yeah.
So she was the one that gets all. She was the one. She's most likely going to get all the benefits and perks that you got so far. She's going to have the most anyway. So I got to work on building everybody else up if I want to get those good runs down. So that's pretty much all I played this week.
I haven't gone back to SSX in a while. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone back to any old games in a while. What I played this weekend. So Sunday, we did the show Saturday, and then Sunday, I get online to play. I'm still working on Destiny, and I'm still. We have a lot of people in the room now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to do another little roll call here. Mm-hmm. We have AC Wraith, A New Hope 93 Me, Apricot Droop Fruit, which is a fun name, Arioka, Commander Root, Duke Frugum 2, of course, Kaolin, Lethal Migraine, Moltau, Retrode, Slowcool, Steven Van Dam, Swerzo, Tactus 59, The Delinquents, Thar 66, VNK, and Virgo Pros in the chat room. So, hi, everybody. Let me put the number out there for old Frugum to call in. See what? Let me get the call. Let me get the phone call first. Okay. Who cares what I played, right? Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm about to start playing Just Cause 4 on the old Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All consoles are called Nintendo from now on.
Now, is that the Nintendo 1 or the Nintendo 4? Is that the one with is that the one with the Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's when we have to blow the apparatus before you insert it, right?
Now that's the green box, right? That's the green one. Just Cause 4. I'm waiting for that to fall onto a sale for PC before I pick it up. By the way, I'm still waiting. I'm waiting on a couple of things. I'm waiting for Just Cause 4 to drop in price. I'm waiting on my free copy of Odyssey to arrive for doing that stream thing for Google for Assassin's Creed. So I'm waiting on that to show up.
Just hope they come through on that for you.
Yeah. I'm waiting on Destiny. Destiny's got their little Valentine's thing coming up this week, and I'll do whatever with that. But I'm really waiting on new content from Destiny. Those are some of the things that I'm waiting on. If I can think of some others, I'll let you know. But yeah, so you're now. Were you just making the joke, or are you currently involved?
Yeah. I was making a joke about when y'all were calling everything Nintendo.
Well, I didn't know if you're doing. You've got Just Cause 4, though, don't you?
Yeah, I was about to start playing it, but yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I look forward to it. I would love to have, like, right. You know, I'm saying this, and I feel bad saying it because I thought about it in the car on the way up here. Thinking, boy, or wherever I was, and I thought, boy, I really wish I could get that game from Ubisoft, the Project Stream thing. I'd love to be putting some time into Odyssey right now. I'd love to be playing that. I got nothing going on because Destiny's not doing anything, and I'm good there, and so I don't have anything to play. And I realized I should just, if I could hear myself outside of myself, be yelling at me. So, I mean, what are you, stupid? You haven't finished God of War. Go back to that. You're still working on Spider-Man. Go back to that. Stop getting new games and play the ones you got. I kind of wanted to yell at myself for that because I do have.
I need to say the same thing to myself as well. I'll do that.
And we all do, right? We all do, but
the prices are just too good to pass up at the time.
My point was that here I was saying, boy, I wish I could get this game so I'd have something to play when, no. Mm-hmm. You do have things. And I have legit things that I want to get to playing.
Yeah.
You know, I want to finish God of War. I want to continue with Spider-Man.
I should start Detroit Become Human.
Yeah. Same here. So, that was my whole
Yeah,
point.
I mean, think about it. You know how many games I had on my backlist when I was told that Horizon Zero Dawn, the full edition, was only $20 on PS4?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I picked that up immediately.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Exactly.
The backlist is going to grow, especially if the prices are right.
Yep.
Well, Chris, what else going
also,
on with you?
I also wanted to mention, here lately I've been watching this guy on YouTube that lives in Australia. At the moment, his collection is being contested by by Guinness, but, of course, since that's not official yet, you know, but as of right now, even though that's come up, he has the world's largest video game collection in the entire world.
Hmm.
And the name of his channel, and he's also on Facebook too. But his real name is Joel. But his, you know, the account name, you know, what to search for is Last Gamer, and mm-hmm. he has videos. You know, he has a 9-year-old son that just plays everything known to man. Everything, computers. He even has his own arcade, like with 21 pinball machines lined up in a row.
Nice. Does it say how far back his collection goes? You say he has computers.
Yeah,
like,
it goes back from the very, very beginning, like the original Atari. He still has his original Atari that his mother bought him years ago, and she kept the original box and everything. He still got his original system from way back in the day when it first came out. and got her original TV that he used to play it on, too, and it all still worked.
Man, so he was collecting before we were thinking about collecting these things. We just wanted to open it up and play it back then, but he was keen enough to collect as soon as he got it. Because I still remember my first Atari, the 2600. That was the first gaming console I had. And I think one of the most favorite I had when there was Yar's Revenge. That was one of my favorites on there back in the day.
Oh, I still Yars, remember, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling, man.
But yeah, y'all, anybody listening, I'll check out his video, YouTube channel and stuff. And one of the ones he had, he just went through is the video game collection of the consoles. And a lot of these different ones, he has the complete collections of the American and Japanese system. You know, every single game that ever came out, he's got them all. On like PlayStation, PlayStation 2, Super Famicom, you name it, most of those, he's got every single one of them boxed, which is freaking amazing to me. But he had a little tour where he just basically went from system to system very quickly, and it was like an hour and 20 minutes long. But, yeah, it's well worth a while if you have some time. You want something cool to look into and, like, say, wow, yeah, that's a good one to look at.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We got another call to go to, and we're coming up on a break here, so thank you.
All right, well, y'all have a good one then.
Yeah, it was good hearing from you, man.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
And you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, it's Duke Frukum.
Hey, Duke.
There he is.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. And can it be a little bit longer? Because we're coming up on a break here.
No problem.
Can I put you on hold?
Yeah, no problem.
And you can hang tight for a bit. Okay. Let me see if I do this without hanging up on him. There he goes. He's on hold. Okay. We'll do that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you briefly what I've played. And then we'll talk to Duke. I know he wants to talk about Resident Evil. But he might also be interested in talking with me about some of the other things that I played. Specifically Apex Legends, and we'll go into that a little bit. I don't really have much to say on it, but we'll go into that a little bit. Going into the music this week, I basically was... I tried to see what was new. You know, I go to Steam's page and I look at new releases. Here's what came out. And then when I run out of stuff there, I go to my friend's page and I look and see what people are playing. And when I run out of stuff there, I go to the activity page of my friend's list to see what achievement somebody earned from a game, what games they bought or added to a wish list or anything like that. And that's how I pull stuff from this. So somebody today or yesterday was either playing this game or recently bought it. And I'm not sure who it was or anything like that, but it was Rayman Legends. Here is a track called Orchestral Chaos. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. And I did not time it this way, but that's just how it happened. Duke Frukum, you may not recognize the music. I don't know. Do you recognize that music?
No, not so much.
I think it was you that was playing this last night, a game called Get Even?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I learned about Get Even actually yesterday when I saw a trailer for their new game, which takes place in Chernobyl. And that made me go to Steam to take a look, and then I liked what I saw. I bought it and started playing it.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you playing Get Even. I'd never heard of it, and I thought, well, let me go get some music from that. And found a tracker, you know, and threw it in there. Did not. This thing's on a rotator in here in the station, so it randomly brings up. I tell it I want it to play these six songs in random order, and then at random it brings them up. So the fact that it played that song when we're going to talk to you.
That's very fitting.
Completely random. So before we get to you, I'm just going to go into what I played real quick. Last week after the show, I had gotten a pretty good. I was on my last step for the last word exotic weapon, Destiny 2, the hand cannon. Mm-hmm. And my last step for that is to earn some medals in Crucible that you have to earn. Mm-hmm. Well, Random Man X, who I play with, he popped on Sunday, and he and I were talking, and he hadn't popped on all week. And I was like, well, you got to go do the quest. On the parts that are Crucible, I'd love to go with you and help you with those, and that'll help me get my thing.
Yeah.
That explicative that I can't call him here because it's on the radio, did his quest. We both finished our quests at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I started mine earlier in the week and it took me that amount of time to get to where I needed to be, and it took him one day, one afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really annoyed me. He's really good at Crucible, though. So, yeah, I finished that up on Sunday. I played some Spider-Man during the week. Mm-hmm. I got to the point where Taskmaster comes in, and he's like, here's the bombs that you have to go. And then I was like, oh, this is the part that's going to annoy me. Being timed on trying to do these things, being scored on it and everything else. And the only way to get a check mark on the map that you're finished with one is to earn the highest score.
Yeah, gold.
Yeah. God, that is going to eat at me.
Tasks do you like from him?
Oh, no. I've only gotten the bombs one so far. Mm. Are they all bombs or no?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, the first one that I did, there were three explosives, and I had to get to them and sling them and then web them, and they exploded. Mm. So then...
That's kind of like your race against the clock one, yeah.
So when I go to another one, is it going to be the same thing, or is it going to be something different?
From what I recall, it's going to be something different, because there were three different types of Taskmaster challenges. One of them is bombs.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't go to any others.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I did that, and then the other game that I played was Apex Legends.
Okay.
Fired it up. It's free to play. I have never cared about Battle Royale games.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played a single Battle Royale game. Never did PUBG. Never did Fortnite. And still have never done Fortnite or PUBG.
So what made you pick this one up then?
I saw the reveal of it on Monday, and I thought, that kind of looks fun. It kind of looks fun, and it's free, and I'll just pop it on and see what happens. And
none of the other Battle Royales gave you that
Fortnite
feeling?
Fortnite never drew me in. This is a good thing to go through, and I know you're still there, Duke. Feel free to chime in anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. PUBG releases, and it doesn't necessarily look the best. I don't really like to judge games on that, because you can have gameplay out the ears, but you can look like paper mache.
Yeah.
I
mean, you don't have to be the prettiest game on the block. You just have to be.
You don't. But for my
Super Meat Boy comes to mind.
Yeah, that game that game was in early access. PUBG was, and it looked buggy and finicky and whatever. And I was just like, doesn't look like my sort of thing. Drop you down in your underwear, and you got to pick up clothes and things. Whatever, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Then Fortnite comes out, and I was like, well, that looks a little. I don't like that either. You build stuff, and then you get shot all the time. And it looks a little cartoony. I can't understand. It's too much. Then they release Apex Legends. Well, it kind of falls into my sweet spot of, this looks nice. This looks really good. It doesn't have the cartoony look to it that Fortnite gives, and it doesn't have the underdeveloped look that PUBG had, at least when I was paying attention to it.
My first game that I thought about when I looked at this was Borderlands.
Apex Legends?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the characters do have that cel-shaded thing.
Yeah, cel-shaded. I thought about Borderlands. Yeah.
Are you a Respawn guy? Did you like Titanfall? Did you like those games? Is that why you may have downloaded it?
I love Titanfall, and I knew that there was not going to be any Titans, obviously, to mess with. I was hoping. But I think also I was hoping for that parkour system that they have in there, but that was taken out as well. Mm. I love wall running in Titanfall.
That's the best feature of Titanfall.
Wall running, grapple hooking, that's fantastic. But they took that out as well.
Yeah.
I still fired it up. I still played it. And I oddly enough, I would still go back into it and play it. I'm at level 7 now and still 0 kills. I haven't killed a single person in this thing. And I'm at level 7. I don't know how many games I've played and still haven't killed a single person in the game. Yeah. I have died countless times. I have died very, very quickly. I have taken a while before I've died and still get points or whatever. I don't know what keeps pulling me back in there. I don't think it's going to last if it keeps going this way, because this is not fun.
Mm. Yeah, the Battle Royale craze is very interesting overall. You know, and then all these developers are now trying to capitalize by adding it into their games. I played the Counter-Strike version for a little bit just to see, you know, if it translated with the Counter-Strike engine. But you know, and they add the thing with the drones where that's how you get your weapons. You run around and then you can purchase things through the Counter-Strike method. You always buy your weapons and then it comes via drone. And then you got to find your drone and mm-hmm. then you might run into guys on the way. It's okay, you know. The Battle Royale just isn't for me, just overall. But I've played most of those games that you mentioned, and except for I haven't downloaded Apex yet. But I try to avoid them at all costs.
Well, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't have any desire to put money into it. It's like a lot of things that I get. Anytime I go into anything that's free to play, free from the outset, mm-hmm. whether it be a mobile game or something on one of the consoles or a PC. I lack a lot of desire to put any more money into it. I got it for free, and I'm not going to pay them for, especially for cosmetics. Cosmetics don't do a thing for me. So, which again is sort of like, well, then what's your drive at this? Because the only thing you get out of playing are cosmetics. The other thing, and this is me kind of catching up to everybody else. Because everybody else knows how Battle Royale games work. Mm-hmm. I never did. I knew it was put you in with a bunch of other players. Last person to survive wins. Sometimes the map gets small. Well, all of them, I think, the map gets smaller mm-hmm. to force that win. So,
do what Battle Royale games feel like to me? It feels like the Crucible of Destiny.
Well, it's multiplayer.
Something tedious that I don't really want to get into.
It's much worse than the Crucible of Destiny. If you don't like dying, and this is it. When you die, you die. You're done. That's your game over for you. You go back to the lobby and fire it up again. And the other thing that gets me is, and again, what I'm saying is stuff for everybody else is like, well, that's how this game works. For me, I was like, oh, this is how this mode works, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for loadouts and everything. No, you don't get that. You just get dropped in, you find weapons, you kill, you go. That's it. You don't get to...
Yeah,
because you found a purple weapon in the field doesn't mean you've unlocked it in your loadout for your character later. Nothing like that. None of that.
So it's a crapshoot?
It's all just throw your character in there, find your weapons, get your kills, die or win, do it again. If you win, that's great. You get more or better loot of sometimes, but the loot is all cosmetic. So, I mean, what I'm going after here is more of a prestige type of thing. Mm-hmm. Hey, look how good I am. Look how many kills I got. Not, hey, I'm holding this weapon that you can only get when you do this specific task. You know? Mm-hmm. There's nothing, it's not like that at all. And again, I understand that a lot of people listening to this will say, moron, that's how it works. Again, I never stuck my toe into Battle Royale gaming at all. This is the first time. And I'm kind of glad that I never did. Or maybe I'm not. Maybe I should have, so that I'd know exactly what to expect every time.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking, though, tomorrow, when I got my free time, I'm going to fire up Apex Legends again and die over and over again. Mm. Their ping system's pretty awesome. The pings, like, that's one of the things that they've praised about this, is that you can play this game without having to wear a headset, which is odd, because in any kind of multiplayer team-based thing, communication is key.
Very.
But they've set this thing up so that if you highlight, whatever you highlight, it's smart enough to know what you're highlighting it for. if I see a gun that I don't need, but it's pretty good, I can ping that gun, and the thing is going to let people know what I just did. Like, hey, teammates, there's a gun over here. Here's what it is. Here's the level. If I see somebody off in the distance, I can ping them, and the thing says, hey, enemy spotted, and it shows up on their map exactly where to go. If I want to go someplace, I can ping it and say, hey, I think we should go here. There's a lot of that, and it's just a smart sort of system to do that with. Instead of like, hey, hit the letter V if it's a bad guy, C if it's, a piece of equipment, or, B if it's a place you want to go to or something like that. Yeah. It's just one button, boom, 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 and it does all of that.
I'm seeing some of the comments in the chat room.
Oh, I haven't looked at the comments. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's about how polished the game is and how streamlined it is. So probably they're talking about the things that you were talking about, how it's easy to let your teammates know what's going on without having the use of a headset.
Yeah.
Respawn's good. Yeah, I mean, they always have polished games. I like that they took the time to actually polish it and then release it, not really kind of hype it up as, oh, we're adding this mode to Titanfall and it's going to be something, secondary on the side. But they actually took the time to do it right, as a lot of these other people are just kind of adding it into their games. All these other developers, like the Counter-Strike version.
Delinquent mentions the jump mechanic. Again, this is my first time, so I feel like this is how it's done in everything, but it's not. The jump mechanic, you're in squads of based of three, and there's a ton of them, but you can do, it's three-man squads. And so you're always on a team, you're always trying to help out, and it's best to stay in a group, always. And that don't care if it's Battle Royale or just regular multiplayer. It's good to stay in a group. And so when you do make the jump, you have somebody who is listed as the jump master. And you can see an overview of the entire area that you guys are going to be playing in as you're flying over it. And the jump master can select, like, I think we're going to go here. And that pops up on your map. You can okay that, or you can say, what about over here? You can suggest a different place. But eventually, when you jump, you bring your squad with you. If you're the jump master, you bring your squad with you. And you follow that person all the way down to the point that they take you. If you don't want to do that, you can freely break away. It's your own choice. Never a good one, though. Again, whatever. You stay in a group, but yeah, that's the revivability, I guess, is not something that was in other things. The revive is not bad. It rarely ever gets to work for me. When I go down, then somebody is usually not around to help me. I'm either the last on my team because I've been able to hide well, or, the other guy is dealing with the group that just shot most of his team down. And he's got to survive somehow to get there, and so usually saving us is not a priority.
Right.
Even if you do die, there is the ability to pick up your whatever it is and make it to a respawn chamber in the game, and then you can bring us back in. If you can't heal us right there on the spot, there is a way to bring us back in. It rarely ever works because of just the amount of hunting that is going on. So those are aspects that I guess are new to the Battle Royale play type, I suppose. So anyway, that's what I've been playing. And yeah, my mind's not made up on that. Apex is not going to be something I'm going to be putting a lot of time in when there's other stuff to play. I just kind of wanted to get a feel for it. I would love to at least get a kill. I would like to shoot somebody.
Sniping, maybe?
From
a distance?
Maybe. You got to find a sniper rifle.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to find a sniper rifle because it's luck of the draw what you get when you start off with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got to find a sniper. You've got to find things. Shotguns are nice. I love those. But that's for close combat, which it almost always ends up being close combat. Never have I gotten to a distant firefight with someone. It has always been running into somebody on in a close quarters type situation, because the map doesn't show you where people are. It shows you where your teammate is, but it doesn't show you where the enemy is.
I wish I could talk to you guys about a game that I play tested. It's under NDA. I can't really say anything about it other than it was the exact frustrating thing that you're saying, where you basically have to hunt. You have to get to where the guns are or the weapons are so quick, or you're just toast every single time, and it's the most frustrating thing ever when you have nothing to defend yourself, or you don't have anything that everybody else has.
Well, I hope you've let them know that.
I did. I certainly did.
I was about to ask if it's a fair situation, like everyone has the same chance to get the weapons, or just who gets there first?
It might be. It's the same type of like dropping in from a top, but you just don't know where the items aren't showing up on the map. So you could get to an area and there'd be nothing there.
So it's dumb luck.
So it's just by chance that you even find anything.
Yeah, so it's dumb luck when you land. Hopefully there's something next to you when you get there, you know, or something, right?
Yeah, I mean.
I can see the frustration in a situation like that. It feels like everybody's getting something quicker than you are.
And we're talking about, you know, 10 hours of gameplay doing the same thing over and over again. And just by chance, you finally get something, you go up to kill somebody, and then somebody behind you kills you.
Yeah.
It's like you never, ever have, you know, a minute to breathe.
And that, I don't know, that just doesn't sound, it doesn't sound fun to me yet. See, I say this, and Apex Legends has consistently this week been the top game on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Like, it is knocking down the Fortnites. It is knocking down the League of Legends.
Well, just wait till the newness was beaten off.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's going to happen soon. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, Fortnite will come up with something to draw the player base back in.
Mm-hmm.
With their different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Apex does have the newness going for it, but it has seasonal plans as well.
Yeah.
So,
look, I'm not calling it a Fortnite killer, but yeah, I'm just thinking just the new aspect of it is just what's making it do that.
Yeah. Anyway, Duke, I know you want to talk about Resident Evil.
I want to talk about a lot of things, actually.
Well, then.
I heard your comments last week about you were playing Destiny 2. You're talking about Bungie. I think it was with the comments with Anthem.
And right,
the shooting mechanic is always...
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason why Bungie always has those streamlined, weapons, very low recoil, futuristic, laser, that kind of mm-hmm. shooting. Man, Bungie 2 is just the easiest, boringest game on the planet. There
Bungie
is nothing
2?
To offer, especially after
Did you say Bungie
game.
2 or Destiny 2?
Did I say Bungie 2? I meant Destiny 2.
Yeah, he said Bungie 2.
Destiny 2. I mean...
It still draws me in.
I cannot believe you're still on that, even from all the time we dumped into the first game, just with almost no satisfaction in the end of it.
On PC, I've really enjoyed it. PC has given me that 60 frames per second and 1440, nice-looking... Mm-hmm. Whatever it gives me the mouse and keyboard effect with it. It's fantastic. Love it. Now, if I was still going it alone, I don't necessarily know that I'd be into this, but using the LFG group in Discord for Destiny players, found Random. He's joined the clan and found some other folks who have joined the clan. A couple of people from COG and elsewhere have joined the clan, and it's just nice to have people to play with whenever I need people to play with.
That's true. I can't even believe they still don't have a mechanic inside their game that allows you to find people for
right.
raids and stuff.
Oh, no. I still got my complaints, man. I've still got my problems with it. I don't... trust me,
I mean, you know it's bad when they don't even build in a mechanism for you to raid with other people.
I know.
I mean, what...
I know you hear me talking about that, but you also hopefully aren't hearing me praise that. I only talked about the shooting mechanic that I'm familiar with.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. But, I mean, that's what... You were talking about Anthem and how I guess Anthem's... I played the
Did you play that?
Yeah, I played the demo. I was in the alpha even for that. But you're right, though. The shooting is very sporadic. It's very not tight.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of room for error. Whereas it's the exact... I think anyone can actually just go to Battle.net and download Destiny and start playing. I think that's what I did. I never purchased the game. But you can see the differences just... from the first 5 minutes, when there's a swarm of enemies coming at you, it's just you're knocking them off left and right, and there's nothing touching you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Anthem, it was pray and spray basically for me, which was just I pull the trigger, and then it's like I got him down almost dead. Let me reload, got him, and then do the same thing on the next enemy. Whereas, for whatever reason, obviously with Destiny and their mechanics, it's two different developers, so I really can't, you know, stay on the fact too much, because these are two different people developing games, two different companies developing games. They all have their differences. I could put anything else up against either Anthem or Destiny 2 and find, or Bungie, and still give you differences in their shooting mechanics because of, you know, where they come from and what they do. So
yeah.
I can't hang on it too much, but there is a satisfying feel in Destiny 2 when you get that headshot or that kill or that pop, you know. When you pull that aim, when you go down sights, you take your aim, boom, you hit what you're supposed to hit, and it goes down.
Yeah, it's just there's no effort. It's just so easy. You don't get my sense of satisfaction in games like that are, you know, the loot that you end up getting, you know, either in the end game or whatever, you actually build up to over a period of time, and then once you're at that point, then you can start, you know, really enjoying the kills. But when that starts off from the first 5 minutes you're playing and it never ends, it's really, unless you're in it for the Crucible or the multiplayer stuff, it's not that fun. It's not a fun game to play.
Yeah, Crucible doesn't bother me. Gambit bothers me. I don't like Gambit, but Crucible doesn't bother me too much. And unless they give you this, like they did in these steps for the new gun, where, you know, if you get a kill, your progression in getting this gun moves up a certain percentage. If you die, it moves back a certain percentage. That part I didn't like, because that took a while for me to do.
Is it like gun game or something? And I forget, it was some multiplayer shooter that was like that. Every time you die, you like it penalized or something, and then if you get hit with a close melee attack, you get pushed all the way back to the beginning.
Oh God!
Yeah, people had like videos where they were specifically messing with people's rank by knifing everybody.
I have no idea what game that was, but it is not.
It was made to make rage videos. People losing their minds.
I don't want to play that game at all. That doesn't sound like fun at all. No, so yeah, I have my problems with what it does, but I also, for whatever reason, can't say I won't ever go back to it. You know,
yeah.
I'll always go back to it. It's still there. As long as I got somebody to play with, and as long as they're putting out more content that, you know, is seemingly enjoyable, and it is for me, it still brings me to the table, put it that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying it. I never push it off onto anybody else. If they want to, I'm like, hey, come play with us. But it's totally, you know, not everybody's cup of tea here.
Yeah, so it definitely is different when you have a group of people to play. I mean, co-op makes anything better.
So far, though, saying that about Destiny, so far I haven't found anybody who feels the same way about Anthem, where it's like, hey, come play Anthem. I know it's not out yet, but the word that I've gotten back from people on that one is that,
yeah, it's a huge question mark for me. I don't
still,
know.
Yeah, and it's still a big question mark for a lot of people.
Well, it's also a question because Division 2 is on the horizon as well.
Crackdown 3 is this week.
That's also true.
Which I'm not saying is a thing that's I don't know what I'm saying about Crackdown 3. I haven't played it. I don't know what to expect. I'd like to put some time in with it.
Yeah, but Crackdown's one of your favorite titles.
Well, you know, you play the opening of the show. It's from Crackdown 1.
Mm-hmm.
and we've been using that since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are, the third game in what, 13 years? And we're about to get into the third game, which is hopefully going to be better than the second game. Mm-hmm. The second game wasn't all that great. First game is fantastic. I haven't gone back to it to see if it still holds up, but first game was fantastic. The second one, or the third one here, seems to be play the game single player. You can do it offline. You don't have to worry about anything, and there's no destructible environments. If you play online, it's done through the cloud, or whatever they want to call it, and destructible environments are everywhere. Buildings fall, massive buildings fall, things break. Well, I don't know. I don't know, but it comes out on the 15th, mm-hmm. and I'm curious about it. So, but yeah, Division 2, been trying to get in that. You in the beta? You doing the beta this weekend?
Yeah, I'm in. I've been playing today, yesterday. It looks great. I almost don't want to play it because, you know, they throw you in and you start doing missions right away. I kind of want to just wait for the game to do the missions. But
no, it's beta. Did they start you off at a different, what level did they start you at?
Oh, you're zero. So you go in and, yeah, they let you level up however you want. There's side missions. You can actually go to the Dark Zone, too. I haven't made it over there yet. But the game just looks you know, polished, and it looks better than the first game, which you hope it to after all the years, but it just looks really great. Really, there's so much on the streets now, like debris, little mm-hmm. details. There's animals, there's deer roaming the streets.
Are you playing on PC?
Yeah, PC.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And I'm still a big question mark on if I'm going to buy it on Epic or if I'm going to get it on Uplay or if I'm just going to bypass it entirely and wait for it to come out in Steam next year, which I'm hoping it does. But
I made the mistake of, and maybe they fixed that for the sequel, I don't know. I got into Division on PS4 through Gamefly. God, that goes back. I bought it on, or was it Gamefly, or was I doing my Best Buy thing where I take it in, buy it new, then take it back? I can't remember, but I played it for a little bit on PS4 with some of the other guys on the show. We played it a little bit on PS4, and when, maybe it was even for the beta for that, I can't remember. We got our feet wet for it, and we were like, it's not bad. Okay, whatever. Well, eventually, they all picked it up on PC, and they played it, and I just didn't jump over there. I don't know what I was doing. Probably Destiny. Who knows? But I didn't know what I was doing. But I didn't jump over there with them. Eventually, I got it on a bargain at like $10 and got in there. They were way higher than me at the time. They could not play with me. I could not play with them because of the level difference. And at the time,
I just made another character and leveled up with you.
I don't think any of them wanted to do that.
It would have benefited them because they would have gotten more,
maybe
more things to trash and get for gear stuff. But you're lucky that you didn't play when Division first came out because it was not a good game. It was not the end game stuff was completely broken.
They did, That was I think the time that the rest of the crew got in it on PC was after Division did this massive update or massive overhaul, and fixed a lot of issues with it. And I still just wasn't there with them. And when I did get into it, they couldn't play with them. I thought, that's fine. I'll catch up, no problem. Well, at that point, the player base at the low level was non-existent. I mean, there were very few people playing at that time. This had to have been over a year or more mm-hmm. when I jumped in.
Yeah.
And the player base to get in there on the ground level was just not there. So you had very few people able to team up with you and help you get through some of those lower level missions when you're squishy, and so it just it didn't pan out. And I'm hoping this is they've got something in there to fix that for Division 2. Otherwise, I might just start from the beginning.
That's definitely a concern if they haven't learned their lesson. Because remember when Division 1 came out, they brought players in. Ubisoft and Massive did. They brought players in and said, look, tell us your opinions on how we make this better.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the feedback back from the community, back from those players, and they actually, it took them 2 years to come up with the update that actually made the game worth playing all the way through. And that's actually when I started playing, was in 2018 when the accommodation update happened. And then it became, they had all of their DLC already out. They had a great Dark Zone. They fixed a lot of the Dark Zone issues because, again, when Division first launched, you could only get upgraded loot in the Dark Zone. And then the players that had been playing from the second it was released, who were the highest levels, would just murder you if you came into the Dark Zone. There was no possible way for you to kind of survive, and it was by chance if you ever got your loot.
Mm.
So it took them a very long time to get those updates out to Division, and if they haven't done that, and they haven't taken all the advice and all the things they've learned from the first game into consideration with Division 2, that'll be a problem.
Yeah.
Because they need to have that available from launch day.
Otherwise,
you're going to lose your players again.
Yeah, can you hang on again?
Sure.
We got to take a break again. We're at the top of the hour, so we got to take our break. When we come back, we'll have you back on. We'll talk more about this Division 2 thing, and I know you want to get in some Resident Evil talk, and I don't know, I've got a bunch of stuff here from video game news. What did I want? Oh, well, most of it's Apex Legends, because they did so well this week. For the fact that a game dropped out of nowhere, ready for you to play and done, and had 10 million players.
That probably
I don't know what it was. Just
probably
a massive amount.
Out of nowhere aspect that probably heightened the curiosity and said, "Oh, I wonder what this is."
I've got an article here that was written up where EA talks about why they did it that way and didn't do any kind of press for it or any kind of talk up about it with everything they were doing. Basically, they were playing it safe because they knew what they had been through previously with like Star Wars Battlefront and everything else, loot crates, things like that. Mm-hmm. They were kind of like, let's just drop it and see how it goes. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to put you on hold here. We're going to come right back in just a bit. Here is music from, well, it was a game that released this week. Came out of Early Access, I think. Astroneer is the name of it. It's the main menu music. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Yes, this is music from Apex Legends. I don't necessarily know what track this is. The game was too new to have a track list, so it's just like main menu music, yeah, probably is what that
sounds
is.
Sounds like intro or main menu.
Yeah. I think this also plays when you're making your jump onto the battlefield or whatever, so... But there it is. Yes, Apex Legends. Let me go to... we had another call come in, so Duke, hang on. I'm going to go to Jason here on line one. Hey, Jason, you're on In-Game Chat. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I think I'm coming down with something, but yeah. I think I feel like I'm losing my voice. There's something scratchy in the back of my throat. I've tried to clear it, and every time I do, it's not getting there. So I don't know. It's just getting old is what it is.
Yeah, everybody is. We're all getting a little bit older. You know, anywhere within like 100 miles of the city that has anywhere that anyone has an actual arcade like that I went to when I was a teenager.
Oh, man. Arcades are going the way of... Now, yeah. Dave and... Now, I will say this. In Birmingham, there is a Dave and Buster's.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
That could be considered an arcade.
Right. Well,
the closest thing...
I just figured that was the thing to do when I was a teenager, go to the malls. I was calling to speak. Do you know if Terry Adams Clearing the Air on? Is that come on tonight?
Yeah, he comes on. He's on Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
Now, Monday through Friday, he's on from 7:30 to 9, but on Saturdays, he's on from 6 to 9.
Okay. He talks about some very interesting things. And last week, they were talking about the thing that's going to be coming in the future. So from the Bible, about 3 days of darkness. And I looked at a lot of it on YouTube and studied it. Man, if this even a half of what they were saying is going to happen, it's going to make scary movies look like a fairy tale or a baby story or something.
Well, he's coming up at he'll be on at 6, and you can call in and talk to him about. Obviously, I can't provide any kind of info on that one.
I didn't realize y'all had y'all's show on. I'm a Nintendo fan, and. I think their controller that came out with the Wii is the best ergonomically shaped controller that there is. It's like they made it. It's perfectly formed for the hand.
Well, no, Nintendo's has had a long history of just finding peripherals that I say peripherals, but the things that go with whatever they're working on,
right,
to just be sleeker than you know what. I mean, it's just been. Mm-hmm. It's,
at one time, I had every one of the Nintendo systems, and I gave them to my son, and he ended up moving or something or another. You know, I'm thinking, how in the hell do you lose 30 years worth of Nintendo that I've kept up with, and you move from one place to another, and you can't keep up with it? I just finally had to just let it go and get over it. It made me sick.
Oh, no. I have kept up with mine. I have mine. They've all turned yellow.
Right.
Apparently, this is what happens to plastic over decades. Mm. It gets a yellow tint after a while. So, yeah, my SNES, my Super Nintendo, with the exception of a certain part of the system itself, all yellow.
Do you ever frequent that shop in Eastbrook where they have all the video games and places?
Is that the one that's right next to the Record Stop?
Right.
Yeah.
And they
got
anything you could think of, a video, they got it.
Yep. I've been in there a few times. I don't have anything, like, so what I have now is the, you know, Nintendo released that little mini console that had the old things on there, and I was able to get into that and add more games to it that I wanted to play. So my retro fix is well and taken care of, both on Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo as well. So,
all right.
But we appreciate you calling in,
sure.
Jason.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we'll go back to Duke now. Hey, man.
I'm sorry. I just got to ask you. 30 years worth of equipment just...
Well, it happens, man. It's the same thing that your parents would tell you about their baseball cards and comic books.
I still got those, too.
Well, yeah, we do, because our parents kept telling us how it sucked when their moms and dads threw them out. So we're like, we're not going to do that. And for the most part, moms and dads have said that they're not going to do that, but some of them still do. I'm just saying, we were raised hearing the horror stories about our parents throwing out, having all of their stuff thrown out, right, when they moved or whatever, and the mom's like, oh, I got rid of those silly baseball cards.
You remember the story I told you about the black label Castlevania Symphony of the Night, right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah,
yeah, just ended up in a garage sale. The son had them, and the parents were selling them for $5 a pop.
They don't know.
Yeah, they don't know. Yeah, they didn't know.
Because that retails for what? I say retails. That goes for what on...
Three figures?
Yeah, on eBay or whatever. Yeah.
On eBay?
So, no. Just hang on to your stuff. If you really care about it, hang on to your stuff. If you don't, get rid of it. That's the thing.
The worst thing I ever did was trade in my Nintendo and my Super NES for a PlayStation.
Oh, my God. Mm. No, I still have my Nintendo and SNES. I never owned a PlayStation, though.
I got one of the originals that plays Burn games. You stick a little toothpick in there.
I remember that.
Remember
that? We all got those jury-rigged systems, man. We all do.
I remember that. I think you could do that on the Dreamcast, too.
Yeah, I think you could. All you had to do is own one game. You put it in and wait for the PlayStation logo to boot up. Pull it out, put in the Burn game, and it should continue.
Yeah, some of that for PlayStation. I think I had one for Dreamcast, just a boot disc for the Dreamcast. It was the only way I could play some of the imports that I got.
Some of your import stuff, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I had... My gaming history goes that I had a Nintendo, like almost every kid anyway. Mm-hmm. Depends on the demographic, the age demographic you're talking to. But I had a Nintendo, and then I had a Super Nintendo, and then I got rid of my Super Nintendo to get a Sega, and then I got rid of my Sega to get my Super Nintendo back, and then I stopped. I didn't move into N64. I didn't move into Dreamcast. I didn't move into Saturn. I didn't move into PlayStation 1. I didn't come back into the game world until Xbox and PS2. Yeah.
I had to get a PlayStation. Yeah. It was. This is the Blockbuster video days. Go to Blockbuster, rent a PlayStation. I rented Resident Evil, and I was hooked on that franchise. And that's why I had to trade in my stuff. And that's a good segue right into Resident Evil 2. Remake, reboot, reimagine, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. RJ, I was listening to your comments last week.
You guys have this conversation because I have no idea.
No, I don't want to repeat everything you said because you pretty much covered everything that I was hoping this game would be. I played through the one-shot demo, which is really fun. And it's like the perfect mix of nostalgia and newly incorporated ideas. Because I like that they did every single puzzle over again. And this actually is really... I'm questioning what Capcom is doing here, because I've been waiting for these types of puzzles for years.
Yeah.
And for years, they gave us trash like Resident Evil 5 and Resident Evil 6 and Deadshot and all these other, like, in, you know, releases.
Mm-hmm.
Where were all these puzzle ideas for those games? Because now you're back in Raccoon City, and all the puzzles seem organic to the city again. Whereas mm-hmm. in those other games, even in Resident Evil 4, the puzzles are, you know, take your giant 7 medallions and plug them into the huge statue in the middle of the swamp. And then, but that's what's impressing me. Well, what impressed me about the one shot, and I'm going to start playing through this week, and maybe I'll call in next week and give you guys a reaction.
I remember going through the one shot and how fast time flew through that demo, man.
Yeah, I mean, you only get 30 minutes to go through, and then it cuts you off and says, "Oh, buy our game." That's a good way to do it. That's a great little tease.
Oh yeah, it was a tease. Yeah, it was good.
And they put you right at the police station where they know people will have all those fond memories of just walking in for the first time, and the camera pans up, and then you see all those matted paintings. Remember in the PlayStation 2, and then the clip clops of the feet walking around.
What system are you playing on?
I'm gonna play on. You know what? This is gonna be the first Resident Evil that I play on PC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've played historically every other game on PlayStation, except for 7, actually. So 7 I played on PC, too, so I shouldn't say it's the first. 7, seven was first person, though, so it only made sense. But this will be my first third-person game on PC. And I really like that they give you over-your-shoulder aiming, and you can actually walk and aim, which is something that they've omitted from 4 or 5, and I think they did it in 6, but one of the most frustrating mechanics in the franchise has been being able to walk and aim like they do in Dead Space, so I'm happy that you can do that.
Yeah, you still get the benefit from standing still, but you can at least aim to get a good idea where your bullet's going to go while moving, because you got to move in here, man.
Well, that's one of the things they can do. Whenever you go back to a game and you go in I would really rather call this a remake, just like Shadow of the Colossus was a remake.
Mm-hmm.
I think a remaster is we just take what we've got and we make it prettier. Mm-hmm. A remake is we take what we've got and we build it back from the ground up, because we remake the game.
Yeah.
We're making it again, and it's exactly what they did with Shadow of the Colossus and exactly what they did with Resident Evil 2. When you get that opportunity to do something like that, and I think even games that have the chance to go back and do a remaster have the opportunity, just whether or not they want to put in the effort to do it, the time, the money, the effort to fix things that were broken from the previous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a nostalgic factor to leave in some glitches that were famous or were those things that stuck in everybody's head.
Well, something to pay homage to.
Yeah, depending on what it is. But there's also a chance to fix, to make right what once went wrong. To fix that and improve upon it and say, you know what, this did not work out the first time we did it. Mm-hmm. Let's fix that.
Mm-hmm.
What's an example of that? I'm trying to think of any time where they...
I can't... Well, I mean, if you look at Resident Evil 2, what you were talking about, I think there's some things, some additions that they put in here that weren't in the first one. And I don't exactly know what they were. But I remember you and Matt talking about them last week.
I was talking last week about things that were taken out. I remember that. Some replaced enemies, things of that nature.
I think some of them are obvious, too. Even in developer talks, they made a point to come out and say, look, we know that this will be perceived as a remake, but we're not going to make the exact same scares that we did in the first game.
Yeah.
And I think one of the more famous ones, I think, is the when you first walk in the police station, this is in the demo, and you're going down the left hallway, and then you see all that string of windows. You're like, oh, I remember what happened in Resident Evil 2. The Licker walks by, and then I turn the corner of the hallway, and he's on the ceiling.
Yeah.
So that's one. I could definitely see that being, okay, let's take a look at all the aha moments in the first game.
Well,
let's make sure that reimagine the way.
It's like to throw you off, like same scares but different locations.
That's another thing
like
that they
right.
have. That's another thing to look at, especially because they didn't have this when you're doing it with Shadow. But this is a horror game. It's got jump scares. It's got other things. You know, mm-hmm. it's got the tension, obviously, and you need to continue to keep that.
Lots of tension.
But hey, these are players who are getting into this or people who played it before as well. They know where the big moments are. Let's switch that up a little bit so that it doesn't happen this time or that right. it happens somewhere else so that we can make that a new experience for them as far as the scare factor mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I want to say, when I talk about Shadow of the Colossus, I want to say that they improved some of the aspects of the controls in that game that were really wonky back in the first one, I believe. But I can't remember. Nobody's piping up in the chat room to help me out with anything. So, but I want to say that there were points where they said, hey, this was a problem before. Let's fix it in this one. Save states. I don't know. There are ways that you could. I remember some games said, okay, you can save anywhere now. You don't have to find certain places to save. If you want to do that, you can do it on hard mode or authentic mm-hmm. mode or whatever they wanted to call it, mm-hmm. which basically reverted it back to the way it was. I think some of the Uncharted remasters were like that, where it's like, okay, you can save anywhere you want to now. We fixed this. We took out the motion controls that were in there. No longer a mm-hmm. thing for some of the games. Where just
I don't remember that in the Uncharted.
Well, Uncharted 1 had motion controls for throwing a grenade.
Oh, my God, they did.
Yeah. And
try to forget things like that. But.
Yeah. And it was ridiculous.
Bad idea. That's a horrible game mechanic.
And so they went back and they said, you know, let's not do that anymore. Nobody cares about motion controls anymore.
I think the last time I had to deal with motion controls like that was Dark Sector.
How about Lair? Remember that?
Oh my God.
Yeah, remember that one.
Oh, man. You're going back launch title PS, PS3.
Well, they really wanted those motion controls to stick. They
Every
wanted
single
to compete
game.
With the Wii.
Every single then, game that came out for PlayStation 3 had motion controls. Heavenly Sword, is that what that was?
Yep.
Heavenly Sword, Lair, Uncharted had motion controls. I mean, everything came with motion controls because they wanted you to use it. Even though it sucked.
We were so happy to turn them things off in the options if they let you.
Yeah, that was the other thing, was to get you the option to do that.
Yeah.
Again, give the players the option. Don't force their hand. Just let them, if they want to do it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm. Going back to Capcom, you know, people forget, too, that this is actually might be their third, you know, reimagine of a Resident Evil game. So remember when Resident Evil 1 came out, and during development of Resident Evil 2, I'm not exactly sure if they did it for fan service or not, but they came out with the director's cut, and they actually went back and they placed keys in different areas. They changed things around, different scares, and it was essentially like a brand new game. I mean, the rooms were the same, but you had to go about puzzles differently, and certain rooms were unlocked, and other doors were locked. So, and then of course you have the famous Resident Evil remaster for the GameCube. Mm-hmm. I think it's on Steam too now.
Yeah.
But those are two, and it took them a long time to get on a Resident Evil 2. And then I even saw an article recently saying that if this is successful, which I think it is at this point, that they'd consider doing a Resident Evil 3 remake.
I keep thinking about the Yakuza series that Sega's doing. If Capcom was to do what they did with Resident Evil, remake the games and sort them out. So I can't see them not doing 3.
I would love 3.
Go ahead. 3
is so weird.
I was watching a video about the Resident Evil 2 thing. I think it was from Digital Foundry. I think we're doing a thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that they pulled in during the actual remaking of the game. Mm-hmm. They pulled in some mechanics from Resident Evil 4 to use in here, and I can't remember what the mechanics were. If it was the over-the-shoulder sense or the aiming or something. I can't remember what it was.
I can see the over-the-shoulder.
But they took... See, I never played Resident Evil 2 original, so I have no idea what's different.
Oh, my God, you haven't?
No, man, no.
You really should.
The original 2 had those tank controls where we were going through, and then they...
Was it over-the-shoulder? Was it from behind? What was the...
Resident Evil 2?
No, it was static cameras in the corners of...
Okay.
Static camera and tank controls.
That I think is what they did, was that it pulled in the controls from Resident Evil 4, which gave you this...
Yeah, 4 had the over-the-shoulder
thing, and they said, you know, they put it into the remake. Did they not?
Well,
they don't have static... Do they still have static cameras in Resident Evil?
I think you're thinking of a mod, because I think someone modded it to do the static, and then someone modded it again to give to first person, first person view. So okay. I don't know if it's an official, you know, Capcom release, but I know that there's mods out there that allow you to play like that if you want.
Because I want to say the tank controls were all the way up to Code Veronica.
Code
Veronica had tank controls too.
Yes, it did. And then they came out with a bunch of weird titles like Dead Aim.
And first Survivor. Light gun games, things like that.
Yep.
And then when officially 4, or official 4 came out, it was the first, I think that was the first over the shoulder.
Which they stuck with ever since, after that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Over the shoulder view, that was in the main series, yeah.
Because I played 5.
Yeah.
And I played a little bit of 6.
6 was so bad.
That's why I played a little bit of 6.
Yeah,
I played all the way through on 5. I played it co-op with James. We played it all the way through.
Yeah, we still got that legendary story that y'all had with that.
Man, we didn't. We started off playing it, and then it felt like, well, we've come this far. We might as well finish it. And then we got to that boss battle, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Like I said, with co-op, you can play any game. It could be a terrible game, and you can be playing with a buddy, and you can make the best out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part of those latter two games, the 5 and 6, though, I mean, it's almost like Capcom lost their identity with the series because it became less about solve the puzzle to get to the next area, and it became more about, we'll show you the door that you need to unlock. Now, you go do, because you'd enter a room, and there'd be like a cutscene, and then the cutscene would like show you the room, it'd be like a aerial view, and then it would show you the door that is clearly locked, you know, with a red, the red LED on top of it, and then you got to find like the lever that opens it. They never would have done that in those original survival horror games. You know, they would have made you go into every little crevice and try and find the keys to open it or the lever, whatever the puzzle is. But it seems like they were just on the nose with it. It just that took most of the fun away from the entire series.
I think for a lot of AAA titles, for a lot of big AAA developers, that they follow the trend of whatever's going on. I mean, we talked about this. The big company, you know, Nintendo issues motion controls. Well, let's put motion controls in our game. It's a big thing. Let's put it in ours. Mm-hmm. Microsoft develops the Kinect. PlayStation develops the Move. And then, what was it after that? There was another mechanic. Well, open world mechanics came out. The multiplayer for Modern Warfare released. Mm-hmm. And now you can't find a multiplayer type game like that that doesn't have leveling in it and perks and things that unlock and all this other stuff that are in the games. It just followed a trend. Open world followed a trend. Let's make our game open world now. Assassin's Creed was a nice straight linear thing, and then they're like, let's put open world into it, and it's never gone back since.
Well, I was thinking about for Resident Evil franchise, it got a lot more action oriented instead of survival.
That's
horror
true.
Action.
Yeah. Well, Metal Gear never stayed the same either.
Yeah, and the puzzles, take you out of the action. And if you have a difficulty with a puzzle, it takes you out of the action for an extended period of time. But I think that's what they tried to do with this. And when I got to the puzzles in the remake for 2, you're gonna have to do some. You're gonna have to use some logic and move some stuff around. It's not simple. It's not given to you. You're gonna have to work for these.
Yeah, that's a good point, RJ. I forgot the action. They wanted to make those games action games. They wanted them less survival horror and the co-op element too. So that's probably why it became. But still, I mean, if you're playing with co-op, you know, figure it out. You know, talk to your buddy, and you guys can figure it out.
Tomb Raider had that problem too, I think.
Action more up or
Tomb Raider,
puzzles.
Tomb Raider used to be more puzzles, and then it became more action.
Yeah, it did, because I remember
later on.
I remember playing the original Tomb Raider. Yeah, and there was a bunch of stuff you had to deal with. Now you look at it now compared to back then.
Tomb Raider was more environmental puzzle solving, and then it became, and then some gunfight here and there.
Yeah,
and then it became the shift started happening where it's like 90% puzzles, 10% gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
That started going down. You know, it started trading their spots a little bit more to where it became 50-50. And especially by the time you get to the remake, the reboot. The whole thing that happened when Square Enix took over. There's very little puzzle solving in that first Tomb Raider.
I think the only thing they talked about for the reboot was how rough it is for Lara and the action in there.
Right. Well, it was exploring and action. Yeah. But the only puzzles were the tombs, and there were only a few of those in the game that had puzzle aspects to them.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not big on that. Yeah.
A lot of people criticize that game too for that, where you essentially kill, 250 people in that game. Lara does. Whereas in the original game, I think she kills 5 people.
Right. Yeah.
And
wildlife.
That's been a common kind of argument with the Uncharted series, because people complain that Drake is just like this quipping, handsome guy that is a murderous, mm-hmm. He kills hundreds of people in all of his games, I tend to try and detach myself from that type, because I try to put the character in the situation that they're currently in and try to move through it, and that's why you end up with like these gritty reboots with what Lara has to go through in, mm-hmm. What is it now? Her third game, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I still haven't played Shadow yet. I've never finished the other one, Rise of. I never finished Rise of, and I haven't started playing Shadow.
I forget there is 3 of them now. Yeah,
yeah. We gotta take another break here, Duke. You want to hang on, or
I'm actually gonna I'm gonna take off. But it was great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me back on.
It is always great talking to you, man. Take care. Tell the wife I said hello. That's so weird to say.
I will do that. She's calling me from the other room right now. I think she's mad that.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care now.
All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we'll do the final little segment here. I've got plenty of news that we really haven't touched on, mm-hmm. and I'll just go down the list here to hit up some of the few that we have, a few minutes that we have remaining in the show. I wanted to tell Jason there is an arcade in Alabaster, like Hooligan's Hangout, I think is what it's called. Chris sent me a message. And for whatever reason, this thing doesn't recognize my face. And it is, it's Hooligan's Family Fun in Alabaster. Hmm. 519 First Street, Southwest Alabaster. So maybe that's a cool thing. I don't know. There's Dave & Buster's, like we said, in Birmingham. That's sort of a half and half. It's like a restaurant bar type thing. But then it's got arcade games, so just so you know, if you've never been into a Dave & Buster's, it's got some arcade games. Most of it is redemption games.
Yeah. I think the only one I've been to, he said within 100
miles. It's like a showbiz for adults.
Yeah. I said the only one I've been to, he said within 100 miles, but the one I went to was round one, but it's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty much the same thing. There's a restaurant, bowling alley, billiards, and all that stuff, but there's a whole bunch of arcade games in one section, and like you said, about half of it is like redemption games for tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. When we go into break here, this is a game that Random Man X was playing on Steam last night, and it was Everspace, which I had not played music for before at all. So here's the theme from Everspace, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Just RJ and myself for this episode, and we're winding it down now. This is music from another recently released title, God Eater 3. Destiny to Change is the name of this track. One of those that I didn't see anybody playing, but I did go to the front page of Steam on their store and see what was newly released.
Yeah.
This was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was going through trying to look and see what, you know, I could talk about for news, and that really just wasn't actually very much at all. We covered most of it with the Apex Legends and the Division 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much, it wasn't anything like big. Well, two things from Activision. If you bought Guitar Hero Live between 2017 and January 1st of 2019, you're eligible for a full refund. Not exactly sure why. The server shut down, and I think it's because the server shut down and you lost all of your music. Anything you had bought at that time or whatever, I think it's all gone. And so they're offering everybody who bought it a refund. During that time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bad thing for Activision Blizzard. Well, there's another bad thing. There it is. Yeah, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the story. If you bought it between December 1st, 2017 and January 1st, 2019, if you file a claim by May 1st, 2019, you'd be able to give it. They're not giving any reasons why that they're doing it, but it seems rather obvious that Activision's decision to obliterate a library that counted almost 500 songs at its peak and a resulting lawsuit dismissed less than 2 weeks ago seems to be the culprit here.
Mm.
And those are the eligibility for getting a refund. Yeah, not good for them. And then not good for Activision Blizzard because apparently they are about to be hit with massive layoffs. This is off of Kotaku. Staff at the game publisher Activision Blizzard are preparing for big layoffs next week, waiting to see who will be one of potentially hundreds of employees who could lose their jobs on Tuesday. There's been no official news from the publisher yet. We first heard word of upcoming layoffs late last year. Last night, Bloomberg reported that the layoffs would take place on Tuesday and number in the hundreds. A spokesperson for Activision did not respond to requests for comment, nor did anyone from Blizzard as well. People who work or have worked at Blizzard told me that they expect Tuesday's layoffs to be primarily in non-game development departments, such as publishing, marketing, and sales. Some of those jobs and roles may then fall to Activision proper, further reducing Blizzard's autonomy. Activision employed an entire team full of Destiny support staff who now have no work. Two people close to the company told me that there have been a few opportunities for those former Destiny staff to move to other teams, but those opportunities are limited. The layoffs will likely happen on Monday and Tuesday. For now, those who might be affected can do nothing but wait. What else do we have here? The Steam Awards. I don't know. They did a show that was there was like 20 minutes long. I was trying to see what the actual, I don't want to see the recordings. I want to see the results. I don't have the results. I thought this would have the results. It does not have the results. Well, great. I don't want to watch the recorded show. Let's see who won what. I was going to go over the list of winners, but never mind. I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah.
All right, so going back to Apex Legends, EA's decision to do this on a hush-hush stealth release type thing. We don't get a lot of big title stealth releases. And by that I mean big studios releasing stealthily, you know? Indies release stealth-wise all the time. You hardly know. It's why when I go to the new game page on Steam, I can't believe how many new games released this week that I have never heard of. Because there's a lot of indie stuff, a lot of outside genre stuff, just a lot of things that I'm not really looking at. Maybe other people are, I don't know, but a lot of titles that I have never heard of were in development or anything like that. So they're stealth to me. Apex Legends is a little bit different. Apex Legends is akin to something, not necessarily Call of Duty-esque, but just a really big title releasing out of nowhere without any noise whatsoever. There was a little hint of something over the weekend saying that they've got something to announce on Monday, but that it was going to be available Monday, I didn't know. That it was going to be a Battle Royale game, I didn't know. The last I knew, Respawn was working on a Star Wars title, I thought, for EA. I knew this was not going to be it, because you just don't, you don't stealth release Star Wars. When you're the sole company that can publish Star Wars titles under the Disney umbrella now, you don't stealth that. You build the momentum for that thing. You get your pre-order money in there. Which is probably the first hint that this should have been, you should have been thinking this was free to play. EA is not a company that passes up the opportunity to squeeze you out of money. Look at the release chart for Anthem, a game that is coming out this week, or at least, actually it's coming out later, but if you are a member of the Origin Plus people, whatever, the subscription service, you get it 10 days earlier, which falls on the 15th of this week. There's an entire graph, an entire spreadsheet of when this game releases based upon how you buy it. And that's for Anthem. So I think your first hint that this was a free-to-play game should have been the fact that it's coming from EA and they're not trying to squeeze you out of pre-orders. They're not building anything up. Sure, it's free-to-play. So they were going to be doing a free-to-play game, loot boxes. When they were bought by EA, it's not going to be Titanfall 3, so they were kind of nervous about that. They say it's a perfect recipe for a marketing plan to go awry, so we have that. Let's just ship the game and let players play. It's coming from Respawn. It's got a Titanfall look to it, or I think it's sort of set in that Titanfall universe, just without Titans. But it was not going to have Titans in it. It was going to have loot boxes. It was all kinds of, here's problems if we hype this up, where it could just go wrong. They were leaning on influencers first and foremost. No pre-launch hype, no PR campaign. It's their first major new IP since Titanfall. Sneaking out before another major new IP, which is Anthem. This actually might hurt Anthem sales, honestly.
One's free, one is not.
Yeah, it's a sign of supreme confidence in the product and a bold marketing strategy. The game's line producer, Drew McCoy, gave the above quote that I was talking about, like, hey, it doesn't have Titans in it. It's got loot boxes. We're kind of nervous about this. It wasn't a bold new experimental marketing initiative, but an inevitable reaction to a no-win PR situation. Mm-hmm. EA is acutely aware of the toxicity in its name and how it can evoke and what it can evoke in certain circles. We're talking about a company that has won and still ranks highly in the worst companies in America list. It knows how game communities and the media feel about loot boxes and free-to-play. They hate them. It knows how games communities and the media feel about Titanfall. They love it. The conspiracy theories write themselves. EA, after sending Titanfall 2 out to die during a hyper-competitive month, bought up the business and forced it to stop making Titanfall games and build a free-to-play title instead. So yeah, the recipe is in here for something that would go completely wrong if you built this up and announced and said, hey, it's coming 2020, you know. More info at E3. No one would care. They got no pre-release campaign. And, yeah, it was interesting that they went that way, but I can see why they did that. I think it would have gone bad. I think first off, that it didn't arrive a buggy mess is amazing. Mm-hmm. That it's something multiplayer like this, only multiplayer like this, free-to-play, was going to have a ton of people doing it, and they didn't run into any kind of bugs, server outages, any kind of problems that I know of. I didn't read about any sort of mess when this thing launched. That's a testament to Respawn being able to knock that out of the park. Mm-hmm. so having it released like that was interesting to see that there was no hype and no buildup. And I think that was the other thing, was that this is intriguing. This is Battle Royale. Well, let's see what they've done differently. James, whenever he was on the show, we used to talk about all of these games that tried to copy World of Warcraft. And the advice was, don't try and copy World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. Just do different than what World of Warcraft... And don't be different as in, like, well, we're just not going to do a World of type situation. We'll do something else. No. Mm-hmm. You can still do a MMORPG type thing, a massively multiplayer online game. You can still do that. You can still make it like World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. but find something different. Find a different pull, you know, to get people in there, because there was a ton of clones that released. Yes. And there's a ton of clones for your Battle Royale as well. But they had to say, so instead, don't be like Fortnite. Don't be like PUBG. Still do your Battle Royale, but find something else there, mm-hmm. you know? So the respawn mechanic. And a couple of others that they've talked about, and I can't really go into too many because this is my first Battle Royale game. Mm-hmm. Me playing this felt like, is this what those games are like? Yes and no, was the answer. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, yeah, it is. And then in a very few, there was no, they do it a little bit different, which is, that's how you find your hook. That's how you find your place in that market. Mm-hmm. Don't be the same. Pi's not big enough for you to split that many ways. And it's already being split massively at the moment. The demographic for that. PUBG, Fortnite, God, every other game that has added a Battle Royale into it. I think Battlefield's got one and Call of Duty's got one. Yeah. Just your pie is being split massively. So everybody that comes along after that is going to take just a smaller piece of that away from everybody else. And probably not enough to benefit you until people play it and realize, well, this is crap, I'm going back to what I know, and then you've got a failed game on your hands.
I think Lethal mentioned one called Realm Royale. There's another one like that.
Yeah.
Battle Royale.
Possibly, yeah. Very, very... Sorry, I'm just looking at the chat room here.
I was looking at a statement that H-Town D put in there. He says about Apex Legends' release, he said about it's a great strategy, giving gamers a chance to base their opinion on the game itself and not have reviews or previews tainted.
And of course, it only works if the game is free.
Yeah, it only works
if
the game is free.
And that works. Yeah exactly. That's another thing that they didn't have. Again, they didn't have this build-up or this hype. They mm-hmm. didn't have people saying, yeah, we were just flown into wherever to play this game, mm-hmm. and this is what I think about it. There were no videos on YouTube for this thing so that you could see it until, of course, they announced the game and they released these videos. So... that, I think, sparked curiosity, number one. You couldn't just go to YouTube and watch somebody playing this game so you could get an idea for it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there. It wasn't there yet. So you had to basically find out for yourself mm-hmm. what this is. That's kind of neat. That's kind of an interesting strategy marketing-wise. Mm-hmm. But it can also backfire massively.
Yeah.
And this didn't. And yeah, it's just an interesting thing. We got to wrap up here. We got to go. Our time is running short. I want to thank everybody for joining us. And my voice is also seemingly running short. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room. I want to thank Duke Frukum for the call. I want to thank Chris and also Jason for calling in. I want to thank everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. There's a lot of you there. AC Wraith, A New Hope 93 Me, Apricot Droop Fruit, Commander Root, Duke Frukum, H3 Lushka, I think. H-Town D, Lethal Migraine, Multile, Retro, Scapania, Slow Cool, Steven Van Dam, Swerzo, Tactus 59, The Delinquent, Thar 66, VNK, and Virgo Pros. Just so great for you guys to join us each week, and we do appreciate it. Find us on Discord. Find one of us somewhere on Discord so we can get you in there. We keep it locked down tight. We've got a group on PlayStation. We've got a group on Xbox. We've got a group on Steam. We've got a clan in Destiny 2. If I could make a clan for Apex Legends, I would, but you can't. Anyway, have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next Saturday. Here is music from some other game somebody was playing on Steam last night that we did not play music for. It's a game called Ruiner, and the name of the track is called Drifter. We'll see you next Saturday. Have a great week.